And then we all come back for that great getting up morning, Sunday morning, resurrection, when Jesus rose from the dead. And we call that, well, we don't call it Easter anymore around here. We call it Resurrection Sunday, all right? But the church calls it Easter. We call it resurrection. And it coincides with the fourth feast of Israel in Leviticus 23, which is called First Fruits.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the first half of This Is Love, to Give One's Life. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of This Is Love, to Give One's Life.
As we come to our time together, this is love. Today, we want to focus on John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse 13. And Jesus says this: greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. We want to look ahead to what we call the gospel, the heart of Christianity, the foundation of the church, which is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of people use Lenten as a time to give something up. Some people will give up sweets. Some people will give up meals. Some people will give up candy. Some people will give up other things, but we not only, and I'm not sure where you're at, if you're going to give something up for this time, but rather than give something up, and if that's what you feel led to do, you know, by all means, do that, but let's not only give up, but let's look ahead. Let's focus on, you know, probably the most important week in the life of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as he walked here on this earth. Yeah, the birth was great. Yeah, the birth was one in which, you know, the angels surrounded that, those shepherds surrounded that. And a year later, the wise men came. But so the birth was significant. But this is the heart of what we're all about. And so as we enter into this time, let's prepare our hearts, you know, for this great event. And so with that said, when we think about this, and we call it Holy Week, that's coming up. I've been teaching on Wednesdays on the Feast of the Lord. And seeing how in Leviticus 23, man, it's just so powerful in relationship to this whole week when Christ prepared to go to the cross. And it was just awesome. So I began to do some comparisons so that we might even anticipate and connect it more with what God had in store when he put this thing together. We see the event that when Christ rode into Jerusalem, we call that Palm Sunday, right? You know, we have palms here, and at the end of the service, we hand them out. You know, we got to wait to hand them out to the kids because we don't want them hitting each other in the head with the palms, you know, so we wait to the end of the service. But that is, the church has recognized that as Palm Sunday. But on God's calendar, oh my goodness, on God's calendar, that was the day that they selected the lambs for the Passover. And so when Jesus rode into the city on Lamb Selection Sunday, Jesus was saying to that crowd that day, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And then we see later on that week, Christ shares a meal with his disciples. And, you know, we call that Maundy Thursday or the Last Supper. However, that was the Passover meal, that Christ was gathered with his disciples and they ate the Passover meal. So what was on Christ's heart the night before he went to the cross? What was on his heart was celebrating Passover, because that was what was meaningful to him, and that had significance in his life. Now, you know, we can get into a big debate and big discussion, and the book is still open, whether Christ was crucified on a Wednesday, a Thursday, or a Friday. So, you know, people have gone through elaborate productions and presented convincing evidence for each day. That some people have convincing evidence for Wednesday. Some people have convincing evidence for Thursday. And some people have convincing evidence for Friday. Regardless of which day you take, the fact of the matter is that Good Friday could have been Good Wednesday or Good Thursday. But the fact of the matter is that was the same day that the Passover lamb was killed, on the same day that Jesus was crucified. So we have the Passover lamb being killed the same day that Jesus was crucified. And some of the rabbis will tell you that it was at the very same hour when they were offering the Passover lamb that Christ was suffering on the cross. And then we all come back for that great getting up morning, Sunday morning, resurrection, when Jesus rose from the dead. And we call that, well, we don't call it Easter anymore around here. We call it Resurrection Sunday, all right? But the church calls it Easter. We call it resurrection. And it coincides with the fourth feast of Israel in Leviticus 23, which is called First Fruits. And you remember in 1 Corinthians 15? Oh, praise God. 1 Corinthians 15, you remember what it says? Christ is our what? First fruits. He is our first fruits. So there was a feast back in Leviticus 23 called First Fruits, and Christ is our first fruits. So as we enter into this time, let us not only think of Lenten season where we give something up, but let us also think this is a time that we prepare our hearts to receive that week when Jesus made that great sacrifice for us. So as we go through that today, the verse that we are looking at is John 15 and verse 13. And it says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. As we think about approaching this time, let's focus on the love of God. Let's think about this is love. That a whole lot of people can say that they love you, or they love this person, or they love that person. But today, we're going to begin, and over the next couple weeks, we're going to begin to see what it means. This is love. In John chapter 15, let's get some context. As we look at verses 1 through 8, Jesus says, abide in me and bear fruit. And we've all read that at some point in time. And so we know, you know, talk about the vine and the branches. But he says, if you abide in me, that you will bear fruit. And then in verse 10, he says, keep my commandments and abide in divine love. That if you keep my commandments, that you will abide in the love of the Father and the love of the Son. And then I like verse 11. In verse 11, he says, abiding in divine love produces joy. Abiding in divine love produces joy. And then he says in verse 14, keeping my commandments proves you are my friends. And so in the midst of this, these four concepts, these four ideas, Jesus infuses the passage in there. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. As we think about that this morning, I have four things I want to share with you. The ultimate degree, greater. The ultimate expression, love. The ultimate sacrifice, a man lay down his life, and the ultimate relationship for his friends. Let's look at that this morning. The first thing we see is the ultimate degree. He began by saying, greater, greater. The word greater is used as an adverb in this verse. It modifies the word love, which establishes the love to follow as the ultimate standard. If you want to know the ultimate standard for love, Jesus is saying greater, that there's nothing greater than what I'm getting ready to tell you. He says, whatever it is that's going to follow, nothing is greater than what you're going to see. Greater love has this. You know, I was thinking, well, how come he didn't use greatest? How come he didn't use greatest? Because you remember Muhammad Ali? What did he say? I am the greatest. Fly like a butterfly, sting like a bee. I'm the greatest. Remember? And there's been many that have come along that have been what? Greater. And somebody's calling to let us know. All right? There have been many that have come along that have been greater. And so whenever you identify, whenever you say something is the greatest, then there's the possibility for something to come along and be greater. And Jesus is saying that when you take the ultimate and you identify that as the highest, the best, that there's something that can be greater than that. And Jesus says, this is the greatest example. It doesn't get any better than this. There is no grander love in degree or importance than is going to be described in this verse. You can search high and low. You can travel far and wide, and you will not find a greater love. This is love. Over the next couple of weeks, we'll be focusing on a song. Also, what wondrous love is this? So I thought today we would kind of introduce it and put it in the notes and just think about the love that Christ demonstrates toward us. What wondrous love is this? Oh, my soul. Oh, my soul. What wondrous love is this? Oh, my soul. Let me ask you a question. Do you feel the love of Christ down in your soul? Has the love of Christ gripped your soul? Has there ever been a time when you stopped and you thought about, man, somebody said, how much did Jesus love us? And somebody asked Jesus, how much did you love us? And Jesus stretched his arms and hung his head. Need we say any more? Need we say any more? What wondrous love is this? And I like, as it goes on, to say here, what wondrous love is this that caused the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful curse of for my soul, to bear the dreadful curse for my soul. That your soul was cursed. That you were, and some people don't like to hear this, but I got to tell you like it is. Some people, all of us, at some point, that we were bound for a godless and a Christless hell. There was a curse that was on our soul. David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. That when I was born with a sin nature. And because I was born with a sin nature, I was destined to be eternally separated from God. But what wondrous love is this? Oh, my soul. Oh, my soul. What wondrous love is this? Oh, my soul. That caused the Lord of bliss to bear this dreadful curse for my soul, for my soul. The greatest, the degree, the ultimate degree, greater. Nothing is greater than this. The ultimate degree, then we move to the ultimate expression. The greatest expression a person can show to another is love. There's a lot of things that you can do. There's a lot of actions that might characterize something that people do, but the ultimate expression is love. And the word love that's used here is the word agape. And that word agape is unconditional, it's sacrificial, and it's divine. Unconditional, agape, Romans 5:8. But God commended his love toward us while we were saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and worshiping in church. No. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This love is unconditional. This agape is unconditional. He didn't say, look, you know, there's a whole lot of people that think that, well, you know, I'm going to get right with God one day. You know, I got to stop doing this and stop doing that. You know, I got to clean up my act a little bit. No, God don't want you to clean up your act if you're not saved. He says, just come to me and I'll help you clean up your act. I came to Jesus as I was weary, worn, and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. Oh, that's the way he wants you to come. He wants you to come with your sin. He wants you to come with your troubles. He wants you to come with your burdens. He wants you to come with all your mess. Why? He wants to turn your mess into a message. He wants to turn your test into a testimony. His love is unconditional, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's sacrificial, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that he gave him to die on the cross. And I'm going to talk about that in a second, but this love is sacrificial. Now, thirdly, this love is divine. Let me read my notes because I think I can read what I wrote better than I can explain it. All right. The greatest expression one can show to another is love. The word used here is agape, and it stands for an unconditional, sacrificial, divine love. Since it is divine, I like this right here. I remember when I was growing up, there was a DJ. I forget what his name was, but he said, I'm seldom imitated, but not quite duplicated. I can't remember what his name was. So you know what? There are people that can imitate the love of God, but they can't duplicate it. They can imitate agape, but they can't duplicate it. Why? Because there are many people, many loving people who are philanthropists. I mean, they give out of a heart of love, and they help all kind of good causes. There are people that have love, and they advocate for the least and the lost. But you know what? They don't have this love. They don't have this love that I'm talking about. Why? Because this is a love that can only be attributed to God. But wait a minute, it doesn't stop there. It gets better. It can also be attributed to those who have the Spirit of God living in them. This is love. What are you talking about here, Pastor Glaze? You mean to tell me that that we can have this divine love that only God has? Yes, that's what I'm trying to tell you. Galatians 5 says, for the fruit of the Spirit, that when the Holy Spirit, we talked about this last week, when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, the fruit of the Spirit, somebody help me, what is the first fruit of the Spirit? There you go. The first thing you got when the Holy Spirit came in, well, not the first thing, but one of the things, was love. You got divine love. And so you can love like God loves. Not in your own power, not in your own strength, but through the strength of the Holy Spirit. You know, I was thinking about something. We're going to take a quiz, and I want you to fill in the blank. And everybody's going to get 100 on this quiz, right? Everybody's going to get 100 on this quiz, just like when my kids were growing up. You know, we used to do a thing where we would sit around the dinner table, and, you know, after we got done eating, before you could leave dinner, that you had to answer a Bible question. And so, you know, we would ask questions from the Old Testament and, you know, questions from the New Testament. And it got to be a pattern that, you know, a lot of the answers was Jesus. So when my kids didn't know the answer, you know, we could say, who wrote the 23rd Psalm? Jesus. Yeah. So that got to be the answer. So we're going to give you a quiz this morning that everybody can pass, and everybody is going to be able to fill in these blank spaces. But this just goes to show you how the world, through songs, see the need for love. What the world needs now is
love.
Sweet
love.
All right. Somebody saw that. Somebody saw that that's what the world needed. I don't know if they realized agape, but they realized that the world needed that. Think of your fellow man. Lend him a helping hand. Put a little
love
in your heart. In your heart. All right. All you need is
love.
All right. Here we go. Stop. In the name of
love.
Money can't buy me
love.
All right. Love. 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 That's what the world needs. It needs the agape of God. Jesus says greater love. Greater love. Greater sacrifice. Greater unconditional. Greater divine love. The world needs this love that God has. Greater love hath no man than this. And so let's look at the second verse of that song, the wondrous love. When I was sinking down, sinking down, sinking down. When I was sinking down, sinking down. When I was sinking down beneath God's righteous frown, Christ laid aside his crown for my soul, for my soul. Christ laid aside his crown for my soul. That when I was sinking down, I love the song that says, when I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Oh, watch this, watch this. It was love that lifted me. It was love that lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Oh, praise God for the love that caught my falling soul. He looked beyond all my faults and saw my needs. It was this agape love. The ultimate degree, the ultimate expression. And then we see the ultimate sacrifice. The ultimate sacrifice. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life. In this verse, Jesus describes the greatest act one human
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of This Is Love, to Give One's Life. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, This Is Love, to Give One's Life, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request This Is Love, to Give One's Life. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request This Is Love, to Give One's Life. or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.